Conservatives get nervous about art because great art inspires people to see the world in new ways and challenges the status quo. So it's no wonder Trump supporters and the National Rifle Association were up in arms when they heard one of the most progressive pop stars ever, Lady Gaga, was going to perform during the Super Bowl halftime show.
In a breathtaking feat, Lady Gaga jumped off the stadium, flipped around like a Cirque du Soleil acrobat against a dizzying background of hovering drone lights, and then sang her hits while playing the piano and guitar.
Today, we take a closer look at Lady Gaga's spectacular Super Bowl halftime show and how she managed to sneak in a shout-out to all the brave folks around the country protesting President Trump and his overlords, Bannon and Putin.
Plus, RuPaul announces the Season 9 Goyles and drops her new album, Remember Me.
Tinder for Apes.
Swaddling Therapy.
And a shout-out to Jess Herps, mayor of the little town of New Hope. She's the first Texas mayor to come out as transgender. I am Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Honey, the reason Lady Gaga wasn't wearing a meat dress during her Super Bowl halftime show, because they ate it in a barbecue at the tailgate party. And the grill, the cookout beforehand.
I think that thing's preserved somewhere, isn't it? We talked to the guy who made it.
I believe the dress got bought and preserved and now hangs at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So it's like beef jerky now.
It is beef jerky. It was
Frank Fernandez, right? Yes. We interviewed him about the meat dress all those years ago. Yes. Well, you know, all the drag queens are totally like they're trying to get that costume together for the show this week because she looked fantastic in that outfit.
It did look like the Lady Gaga's metallic outfit at the Super Bowl was made out of paper clips.
Mm.
So if you're broke, like most queens are, if you're not on Drag Race, go yourself to Staples, buy yourself a jumbo box of paper clips and hug that all together and make yourself a fabulous Gaga
really?
Dress.
Really? You thought it looked like paper clips?
It did have a paper clip kind of thing, yeah.
Oh.
If you take paper clips and you kind of like start, you know, or safety pins, you can do that too. Yeah. I used to have a dress because I did this. I did it myself. I made it. I had a black dress, mm-hmm. and then I just put a bunch of safety pins on it that I thought would look punk. Mm-hmm. But the more safety pins I put on it, the more it just looked kind of metallic, and it flowed really beautifully.
Ah, and the other outfit that she wore too is with the football shoulder pads. Mm-hmm. So that'll be something that people will probably definitely be imitating.
So conservatives were really nervous.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, sound the alarm. Lady Gaga's going to be performing. She's going to inspire people. And they're going to do something to our dear leader, Donald Trump.
Well, ooh. There was even some that were saying that she was going to hold a satanic ritual up there on stage. I was like, oh, thank God the 80s are back, you know, because like Satan in music has kind of fallen off the. But for a while there in the 80s, it was like everything was satanic. A record backward is satanic.
Ozzy Osbourne's like, stay away from my gig, Gaga.
And his wife's like, you don't even have a gig anymore.
And was it
Sharon?
Didn't Paul McCartney also do satanic lyrics backwards? And
I don't think so, but I think after like last year, they really felt like Beyonce, because she had all those backup dancers for Formation, like dressed like kind of like Black Panthers, that they were like, oh my God, we're gonna, you know, like something terrible is gonna happen with Lady Gaga.
Black people are gonna march in sync to the rhythm and start a revolution, a dance revolution.
That was one of our first dates. We did Dance Revolution.
Oh, we went to Disney and played that video game where you're dancing in front of a machine.
Mm-hmm. And I won. Told.
Oh, how nice of you.
I won your heart.
You've always won my heart. But I think Lady Gaga really did quite well at the Super Bowl. She was kind of in a no-win situation because I think at the time that she was booked for a gig, people expected Hillary Clinton to win.
Yeah.
And then this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the people who follow football, I guess the football game itself was a Trump-esque.
It was. Well, you know, because the Falcons were so far ahead, especially at the halftime. And then, you know, the Patriots were favored and people are like, what the fuck is going on? Why are the Patriots so behind? Tom Brady has been such a great quarterback, you know, and this was his fifth Super Bowl. You know, that he was in. And so they actually won. So they came from behind and won it in overtime. So it's the first Super Bowl game that ever got into overtime. And then he was the first quarterback to ever be on five winning team, like to win it five times.
But Tom Brady was controversial because of his support of President Trump.
Donald Trump.
And then they won. Mm-hmm. So it became, so Super Bowl was political, and yes. Lady Gaga made it not political, I guess.
Did kind of make it political. Now, this is the thing. There's two camps here. There's some people that see politics in what Lady Gaga did, and then there's some people that say, I didn't see any politics in it. Now, the people that saw politics in her performance say that, you know, when she did Born This Way, she included the lyrics, you know, bi, transgender, gay, all those feel-good stuff.
No matter straight, gay, or bi, lesbian, transgender life, I'm on the right track, baby. I was born to survive. That's how it goes.
Right. And so they could have cut it, you know, they could have cut that, you know, for time or whatever, but it was included, you know, because she wanted it to be all-inclusive. But before she did that, before she jumped into the stadium like Spider-Woman, which was totally fierce, her flipping around and doing all the spins, I was really impressed. She sang God Bless America by Irving Berlin. And then she also sang This Land Is Your Land, This Land Is My Land by Woody Guthrie. And that's a song about this is our nation, and it's a nation that's meant to be shared. Now, she only sang like one stanza from it. But, you know, it's a very political song. It was a song like I was raised on. Like, we sang that song as little kids in grade school, like when we went to music class. That's one of the songs that we were sung. So I didn't really think about it as too political because it was a song I grew up with. But I guess when you examine Woody Guthrie's musical career, that he wasn't very politicized early on in his musical career. And as he got older, he got more political. And his wife, said that his music wasn't as good later on.
Oh, because he got more
like socialist, and it was more like political leanings, trying to send a message, doing instead of having a good time with the music.
That's what Camille Paglia says about John Lennon, that Yoko Ono destroyed not just the Beatles but also John Lennon, because she pressured or inspired John Lennon to get more political with his music. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, you know, we're artists, and artists make things about their lives and how things change. And the problem is that, you know, some art becomes so commercially successful that when the artist says, you know, it's time to move on and do other things, everyone's like, your art is ruined because you talked about politics and not about, you know, sunshine balloons and lollipops.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when Lady Gaga went out into the crowd, too, is like she was like she went up to a person of color and was kind of like held on to her and was like saying the words like stay or something, like this is your place. You belong here.
And but anyways, Woody Guthrie's song, This Land Is Your Land, was covered by Marlo Thomas in the album Free to Be You and Me.
Which you absolutely love. You had that album, right?
And inspired Lady Gaga's to Born This Way. Her album and her message was inspired by Marlo Thomas's Free to Be You and Me, which we made the connection on this podcast and said to Lady Gaga, why don't you try getting inspired by Marlo Thomas? And she did. Mm-hmm. This Land, Your Land Is Your Land has always been a political song. Let me just sing to you some of the, but they never get to the end of the song. So the end of the song is, as I went walking, I saw a sign there, and on that sign said, Trump for president. No, said no trespassing, but on the other side, it didn't say nothing. That side was made for you and me. I would say that's pretty political. Mm-hmm. In the shadow of the steeple, I saw my people. By the relief office, I've seen my people. As they stood there hungry, I stood there asking, is this land made for you and me? And finally, the last verse, nobody living can ever stop me as I go walking that freedom highway. Nobody living can make me turn back. This land was made for you and me. And then Lady Gaga jumped off the top of the stadium and went, yeah.
Splat. No. You know, I wonder what Native Americans think of this song, because, you know, it could be interpreted as like a white colonial song.
I'm not going to share this with you. I was here first.
Yeah.
You're taking it away from me. Now, a lot of the people protesting the pipeline, right, protesting Trump, the women's protests, all the protests around the country, they've been singing recently, mm-hmm, "This Land Is Your Land." Yeah. So Lady Gaga singing it in her Super Bowl show was interpreted by a lot of people as a shout out to the protesters.
For sure.
And you know, it's a beautiful song, and it's a very patriotic song. Certainly, Hillary Clinton tweeted her support of it.
Oh, she did?
She did. Wow. She's like, "You go, girl." Oh. I'm not, I don't have the exact tweet.
I'm sure it's something along that line.
So Lady Gaga, just give me 1 second, honey. I'll put it up right now here. Just give me a second.
What did HRC have to say?
Well, you can still talk while I dig it up.
Oh, okay. I will.
I am one of 100 million Super Bowl fans that just went hashtag Gaga for the lady and her message to all of us. And so, you know, Lady Gaga's message is one of inclusivity. It's, mm-hmm, one that says diversity is a strength. And certainly, you know, like in the 80s, when people who grew up in the 80s, they saw those, like, you know, Benetton ads that had, you know, different, the United Colors of Benetton. Mm-hmm. And for us, like, Maybe for people from that generation, they have a superficial concept of diversity, which is like, you know, a crayon, like RuPaul talks about this. Mm-hmm. You got to paint with all the crayons in the box, right?
Color with crayons.
Color with all the crayons. Uh-huh. But diversity can be a lot of things. It can be like education. It can be intuition. It can be
age, gender,
philosophy, perspectives. Mm-hmm. And so diversity right now, in terms of like corporate culture, in terms of like how businesses are run and how people like look to succeed, they're very aggressive about diversity. And certainly in Silicon Valley, mm-hmm, Trump's ban on people coming in from certain Muslim countries that he doesn't have hotels in is really hurting the tech world, and a lot of these big rich corporations are putting a lot of pressure on the White House right now to say, listen, you're doing this, you're destroying, mm-hmm, our economy, and not letting us work with people from, mm-hmm, other countries like this is mm-hmm, a disaster, and this is not actually slowing down any kind, mm-hmm, of person who's actually wanting to be a terrorist.
What I think is very interesting, though, too, is like he says that this program that they have banning the people coming in was actually, they looked at it from a legal standpoint, from a constitutional standpoint. His whole like team went through it and thought, hey, this is a good idea. But yet, like, all these courts are just saying, no, you can't do this. This is illegal.
These are Republican judges. Mm-hmm. And then instead, and right now he's trying to appoint his own judge to the Supreme Court. And meanwhile, he's like, all these activist judges, so-called judges.
Trying to delegitimatize them. So, well, you know, which I think is kind of interesting, though, too, is like that he was able to pass this. And this was able to get through, even though it's clearly unconstitutional. And so I wonder, like, because they were talking about like taking away the LGBT rights that President Obama put into his presidential executive order. But they didn't do that. It was on the table. And so they probably even like that probably didn't pass the smell test either.
What, the smell test?
Like unconstitutional. They're probably just like, well, if you do this, like, it can't. You know what I mean? Because his executive order, Obama's executive order, telling people they can't discriminate. And there's the reason why it was easy for him to just kind of do it is because we're already, for LGBT people, and that's all LGBT people, are included in a certain court ruling that says you can't be biased against somebody if they're LGBT because it's a form of sexual discrimination. Because if you didn't hire a woman and you hired a man, you just gave a man a preferential treatment over a woman, you know, she can sue, right? And mm-hmm. So it's the same kind of thing, because gay people, bisexual people, lesbians, trans, we don't match up to what are the gender, like, expectations of a person's role. Like, a man isn't supposed to suck a man's dick.
Another man.
marry another man. But a woman is. And so, like, if you're a man that does it, you're going outside the gender norms.
Or if you were assigned mm-hmm. male mm-hmm. at birth and you identify mm-hmm. as another gender, then you're mm-hmm. also going against norms.
Right.
And so that, those rulings yeah. protect LGBT people because of those things.
Yes, exactly. And so it's one of those things that a lot of people they're not really aware of, but there is a certain protection out there already. And so what this is just something that kind of goes beyond that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, the drones that everybody was like up in arms, like Lady Gaga's going to bomb the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. There's all these conservatives going like losing their shit about drones. Well, it turns out Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida, has a resort called Disney Springs that's been there for quite some time. And they have really spectacular light and audiovisual shows. Mm-hmm. And one of the new technologies that Disney's developed is this drone technology that has these little helicopters with lights that are not just able to coordinate with each other, but they have geolocation set to them. So this basically a light mesh can be raised up into the sky. And that's what Lady Gaga had against her, that this flag that was waving.
Yeah,
a lot of people on the internet, a lot of people on Twitter were like, is this CGI? What's going on? This is witchcraft.
I didn't really get that they were drones at first. I had heard that there was going to be drones involved, but I didn't understand that that's what that was. I thought it was like a screen or at first, and it wasn't until somebody told me. I was like, oh, shit, that is drones. So, yeah, they're about a foot and a half long each. They're 8 ounces. And the interesting thing about them is they're run by a computer. I believe Intel is involved in their creation. And that they have
bum 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 bum.
Is that their little okay? And so, and they're able to like they have a bunch of them up there, but you don't always see all of them. But if like one's battery is failing, another one can move in and take its place. And so the master computer is controlling all of them. And that one little drone, it's only focused on what it's doing. It doesn't know what anything else is happening.
And then the American workforce is going to be.
You know,
that's the future right there. So instead of in the Super Bowl, there's going to be more robots and less humans carrying lights.
Well, yeah, certainly probably for filming, for camera work, for like search and rescue. People say that they're going to have armies of drones. If you're going to go out and look at crops, do that. If you're going to do any kind of like surveillance in difficult areas, you're going to do something along that lines.
Beyonce, where was Beyonce? A lot of people expected Beyonce to show up when Lady Gaga sang her hit song with Beyonce Telephone.
I guess Beyonce was in the area, so people were speculating that maybe she's going to pop up. But, you know, she just announced she's expecting twins, a boy and a girl. And she posted a photo. She's got a little bit of a belly. And so for her, because she's, you know, a dancer and in really good shape, for her to have a belly like that, I think she's probably pretty well along.
She looked like she's going to pop.
Well, I wouldn't
and
say.
And she's not even 8 months in?
I don't know how many months in. I don't even know if she's announced how far.
But I thought the Instagram pointed that out, but maybe, I don't know.
Okay. But so she probably just wants to, you know, relax, you know. Having twins can be taxing.
I think she's busy. It would have been nice if Beyonce, like, recorded a little, you know, video on her cell phone, but I imagine even that would be like, I don't want to deal with it. So basically, the irony, right, is like it's a song about calling someone and they're not answering the phone. And it was like, yeah, Lady Gaga was calling Beyonce. Beyonce was not picking up the phone.
She's like, I'm laying down. I'm tired.
Now people are saying, it's like, listen, Beyonce was able to get political, aggressively political, and Lady Gaga was, you know, pulling back punches to making a very strong statement.
You know, I think with Beyonce's performance, I think it was a super powerful performance, but I think that people maybe saw it as a protest thing in retrospect, but I think most of America just saw it and was just like, okay, here's Beyonce doing a number. And they probably didn't get the reference to the Black Panthers. Most of them probably don't even know who the Black Panthers are. And maybe they caught on to it the next day. But I think most people just enjoyed it for a great performance. And it was a great performance.
They just thought, oh, it's a Foxy Brown, you know, shout out. Now,
if they even knew who Foxy Brown was,
where was Katy Perry's Dancing Sharks over the internet? People are saying, rest in peace, Left Shark.
Aww.
So the Left Shark became a sensation when Katy Perry performed at the Super Bowl. It was a guy in a shark costume who, because he was in a shark costume, didn't know what the other dancer was doing. And so he was like totally out of sync with everybody else.
It's so, and you know, I kind of feel what it's like to be that left shark. Cause a couple weeks ago, Alaska Thunderfuck had us get up on stage here at Roscoe's and do her song, her chicken dance, her chicken song that she does with Miss Fame.
How does that go?
Chicken, I don't know. And so we just basically flap our wings, and like I had somebody voguing in front of me, and it was just like I couldn't see anything out of that mask. I didn't know what was going on. It was hard to see. It was hard to breathe.
Like a lot of things we do with famous drag queens.
We're totally lost.
It starts off with, hey guys, I'm doing a show in Chicago. You guys want to dress up as chickens and dance next to me? And I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, what do you want me to do? I'll do anything. If Alaska asked me to do something, I'll be happy to do it for her. Cause I'm a friend. She's a friend and she's amazing. And we want to support our friends. And so he was like, you have to wear these rubber chicken masks, but then you have to get some wrestling singlets or something. And so we got some wrestling singlets. And I'm like, I just felt like Carrie. I know I've talked about this on the show before, but I felt like Carrie at the prom is like, they're all going to laugh at you.
And did they?
Some people, I saw some you know, shady looking queens in the audience going,
Well, you did have a chicken head on.
Yeah. So I could hide behind the chicken head. And I was like, on stage, I was like laughing my ass off because it did feel a bit like a prank. But then we started dancing and the chicken mask didn't breathe very well. So I'm moving my mouth into one of the eyes and trying to
breathe out of this. You turned the eye into a glory hole.
I turned the eye into a breathing hole.
A blowhole.
A blowhole. I was huffing for my life. So I knew what Lady Gaga felt like. After she... Okay, so she jumps off the roof of the stadium, does acrobatics. I've actually worn that harness. That harness, especially if you're a dude, it just goes right up your dick. Or in Lady Gaga's case, her Hermy dick, as she likes to call it. So it's really tight. And it's, you know, you can fuck up your back. You can mess up your back on that thing. She's flipping around that thing like she's a goddamn Cirque du Soleil acrobat. Landing down, starts playing the piano, the keytar, dancing. All the meanwhile, she's like, you know, it's just huffing and huffing and huffing. And you know what? She managed to pull it off.
So I wonder, like, when she jumped, like, how far was that really? Was she really on the roof? Did she fall that far?
Terrifying, even if it's, you know. I know how scared of heights you are. Like, if someone asked you to jump off of, like, a sofa, you'd be a little nervous.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know,
off the kitchen counter, right? Off the roof of a one-story house. Didn't you like break your almost die because you were jumping into a pool when you were kids?
No, we used to go to my uncle's house and he had a pool. And we'd jump off the porch into the pool. And, you know, they didn't know about it until like they found out later.
Your family.
They were pissed. My family was pissed about it. They're like, you can't do that. You can't do that kind of thing.
OK, this is not jumping off the single story roof into a pool.
No.
This is like jumping off of an 8-story apartment building. And, you know, those two little wires. They feel strong and stuff, but it just cuts into your groin and stuff. That is hard to do. I've done it and it's not easy and it's terrifying. Yeah. And so the part of the thing is you have to train not to be scared of jumping from such a height because the side effect is your body, even if your mind says, don't be scared, your body is going to start trembling.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
And so she's like, board this way.
Well, I'm sure she practiced and she's maybe used to it. But, you know, there's these two Swedish filmmakers. They just did something. It was a short documentary. It was just in the New York Times. And they paid 30 people or they paid $30 to some people to go up to a diving board. It's 10 meters. So what is that, like 30 feet tall? 10 meters and just stand at the edge. They didn't have to jump. They could jump if they wanted to.
It was like an art piece.
It was an art piece, yes. And so it's kind of like there's something about it because these people, like a lot of them are just like, they're so like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And there's this older woman. She's just like, no, I just don't have the guts. And then she just, you know, finally she does it.
She jumps.
She jumps. So, yeah, most of them really, they jump because they're just like, you know what? I'm here. I got the $30 already. I want to prove something to myself. But you see, it's like that visceral reaction because you're just like, your body's telling you, like, if you jump, you could die. But your brain's saying, well, I'm probably not going to die because people do it all the time. So it's just being able to conquer that kind of fear.
Have you ever jumped off of a cliff or a high diving board at a college Olympic
No, not from something that high. No,
I have. And it hurts. You're like, and people are like, don't do that again. So, you know, you're not supposed to. But when nobody's looking, of course, you're a kid. You're going to climb up the thing. And I'm like looking over the precipice. And I'm like, I don't think this is such a good idea, you know?
And you jumped?
And then you jump and you're just like, and the thing about it is when you're jumping off of such a height, you're jumping and you go, ah, and then you're like, have I hit the water yet? And you open your eyes and you're like, I'm still falling. You know, like time slows down and you're like, holy shit.
It's a different perception of time.
Oh, yeah. You are so fucked when you hit that water. You're like, oh, my God. And it hurts. And you're
how did you fall, though? Like your feet don't hurt.
Just jump like a stick. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just hoping you're not going to die.
One woman went over backwards, but she I think she had done it before. So
yeah.
She was like, she did more of a dive. But it was kind of like, what's great about watching this, because it's about 16 minutes long, is just that feeling of like, it's like, I don't know, it's kind of like when I watch those like Dr. Laura, the zit popping pimple ladies.
Oh, this is so nasty.
There's so like, there's like an excitement about it. It's like, oh my God. And like the tension. And then you get that wonderful release.
Those are like zit popping videos that you like to watch on YouTube.
Yeah.
Those are so nasty, Mark.
I know, but they're fun. There's the tension, the buildup. And then it's just like that release of all that glorious.
You know what fluid. It is? It's because you've always been this handsome, smooth skin. You never had acne.
I've had acne.
I had really nasty acne. Mm-hmm. I had Accutane as a teenager. Yeah. And it's like, that's probably why I'm sterile or something. You know? But, you know, and it's like when you have a lot of acne, it's like the last thing you do want to do is see a zip popping video.
Really?
Yeah.
I had like.
Hard.
I had like on my nose, I was just like, I feel like a little, there's something in there. So I popped like a little bit of a zit, and then it just like, and then just more kept coming out.
Hey,
and
listen.
Then just more kept coming out. And I was just like, oh my God, it was just like, it was insane how much came out.
Hey, listeners out there. So you guys who are dermatologists or skin doctors, there's a lot of controversy about those nose pore strips, the one that pull out the blackheads.
Yeah.
And I noticed that a lot of like Asian beauty bloggers rave about those. Mm-hmm. They love them. But I notice other beauty bloggers say that is really, really bad for your skin. Weigh in.
Why do you think it's bad?
Because I guess it's like messing with your pores, and it's ripping, and it's tearing your skin, and it's not a good thing for your skin to get used to or doing on a regular basis. Now, when we were at the Austin International Drag Festival last spring, Isabella King, a lovely transgender, also raccoon identifying person, helped us and ran lights and sound.
She was our tech and our guest.
She was a guest on the show and she did tech, and she lent us her tripod, which we went to return to her house the last day of the festival. And we went to her home, and she had all this like knickknacks and collections of fabulous oddities. Mm-hmm. I think even
medical stuff.
Preserved animals and like it's a real like a collection of oddities and so she had this old 1940s style wheelchair that probably could have been Franklin Delano Roosevelt could have ridden.
It was like right out of like Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, kind of.
It was totally Baby Jane, right? And so Mark sat in the chair and I posted a little picture, and Isabella, I guess, always wanted to see the picture. You know. And so she wrote to me and said, hey, do you mind posting that up on Facebook? I want to see it. And I was like, sure, no problem. And so I posted it. And some guy named Jim, he writes, Mark looks so powerful at 50, making fun of a president who died working for poor and humble masses of American people who lost their jobs in the Great Depression. Way to go, Mark. The pic would have worked if the wheelchair was empty and you stood where a front of a podium. You would have appeared strong.
I think he's just teasing us, isn't he?
Maybe. I wrote, thank you for your feedback. Please don't confuse imitation with ridicule. The wheelchair belonged to our friend Isabella, and Mark just posed in the vintage wheelchair for a moment. I made the comparison to FDR because of the movie Annie, where FDR, a Democrat, the Democratic president, and Daddy Warbucks, a staunch Republican, media tycoon even, and Little Orphan Annie, representing the poor in the United States, all sang in harmony with FDR's wife, Eleanor Roosevelt, Tomorrow. And the song was about overcoming adversity and coming together and singing together a song of hope and inclusivity and diversity. And that's how we can overcome problems, and is it only if we work together. And that's what the song Tomorrow is about. So, you know, I just made that comparison because I just saw the musical Annie on Netflix, and I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
We were respectful. I mean, I was just, it's okay to give FDR realness.
Yeah, and then I'm like,
I'm not making fun of it.
And it's like a lot of people love to do the, what is it, whatever happened to Baby Jane. Mm. You know, it's like, I think people who, from the people that I know and my own honesty and values, I don't think sitting and posing yourself in a wheelchair is a bad thing. And it's not making fun of somebody who a wheelchair is a reality for them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Mark?
I just think it was, you know, an innocuous kind of photo, and it was just, it's me sitting in a vintage wheelchair, and it's more about admiring the wheelchair than it is anything, you know. And this is something that's in her home. She treats it like a chair.
Yeah,
you know, that moves around.
Her controversial wheelchair.
So I wouldn't take his thing very seriously, but you know, I do appreciate his input, and I don't think we're being disrespectful.
People are asking what happened to the Feast of Fun Friends of the Show group on Facebook. That's facebook.com/group/Feast of Fun. I guess Facebook took it down. Mm-hmm. We don't know why. I'm guessing maybe it might be because we use a URL shortener. So we have these long URLs for our podcast, and we use tinyurl.com/feastoffun2
mm-hmm.
To link back to it. And they may have felt that that was against the terms of service or something. So mm-hmm. they shut down the entire group
instead of like mentioning it
or doing something
about it. Now, what's interesting about that is that I as I was coming home and I found out the group was undone, I was listening to something on the radio, and it was talking about this guy who had like a page on there, and Facebook, and he had, you know, paid for his page, he had paid for posts, he had gotten people into his page, and they just shut down his page without any kind of notification whatsoever. And he was getting a lot of money from his page because he was selling certain products, you know, from his page. And they felt like because there was advertisements in there that went against what they wanted, that they just shut it down.
So my feeling with right now, if you guys want the group to be brought back up, you guys can complain. Go to facebook.com/support and say, hey, I was a person who liked the Feast of Fun Friends of the Show community, the group, mm-hmm. where we could interact with each other and share links with each other. And somebody, some hater out there, maybe some, you know, the group did get a little political. And so maybe somebody who disagreed with, you know, flagged it and try to get it shut down.
Mm-hmm.
But right now we're just waiting to hear back. So if you guys don't mind, go to facebook.com/support and complain.
Say, bring back my Feast of Fun group.
Yeah, and so the URL, so if they ask you for the URL of the page, mm-hmm. is once again facebook.com/groups/feastoffun.
And until it comes back, I'm just going to be here at home just swaddling.
Swaddling?
Swaddling. I guess swaddling is the new rage in Tokyo. Now, a midwife, I guess, came up for it. You know what swaddling is, right? So when you have a newborn baby, you kind of like wrap them tightly in you know, sheets or whatever, like the, you know, Jesus was in the manger in his swaddling clothes, or like when they wrap up those Russian babies, you know, how they wrap them up really tight. Those are called like swaddling clothes. And you do that because the compression helps the baby feel very comfortable, right?
It's like when you're depressed and you sleep in your bed and you stay for a little bit mm-hmm. longer because just being in your bed surrounded mm-hmm. by the sheets.
Well, they actually also have, they have weighted blankets now, too, that are very helpful to people that can be very comforting, too. And so they feel like, you know, after a woman gives birth, she might have some pains. And so this kind of helps her get over the pain from it. But I would imagine that it helps with other things, too. It just kind of makes you feel like tight. You know, the queer people and the BDSM people have all been into like compression for a while now. Like, you know, have you ever been to like when you go to IML and you see people, they go into like those vinyl like tubes and yeah. then they suck out all the air, like yeah. that kind of thing.
Have you? Well, I had a friend, his name was Coco.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if he uses that name still, but he was known amongst the radical fairies mm-hmm. as somebody who wrapped up mm-hmm. gay guys in saran wrap.
Mm-hmm.
And he used the colored saran wrap. So it was like a rainbow worm. And of course mm-hmm. he would put like breathing mm-hmm. holes.
Yes.
So they wouldn't die, and uh-huh. made sure that their dick and their mouth What, breathed enough, you know?
Yeah, he's still around. I believe he's still using that name because we have a listener of the show who was going to an event and like he had to set up like a profile and they had to like check him out to see if he was eligible to go or not. And they asked him for his social media profiles. And he's like, well, I don't have any social media profiles, but I do listen to Feast of Fun. And he's just like, oh, I know those guys. And so he got into the event.
What?
I know. Isn't that crazy?
That's great.
I've probably haven't heard, you know, I haven't seen him in 15 years.
Damn. Yeah.
At least. Right.
Yeah. So how was your weekend?
The places Feast of Fun can take you.
Mark, how was your weekend? Did you do anything fun or interesting?
Well, I had a birthday. I had a birthday party. Yay for me. Well, it's nice because my actual birthday, which is February 2nd, is Groundhog Day here in the United States. It's a holiday. It's where we celebrate the groundhog comes out of its hole. And if he sees his shadow,
shade,
it's 6 more weeks of winter. If it's this shady bitch, then it's 6 more weeks of winter. Now, the weird thing about this to me is I'm from Pennsylvania, actually not too far from where, you know, Punxsutawney Phil is from, the groundhog. And it always seemed weird to me because I was like, when the fuck is it not 6 more weeks of winter? I mean, yeah, it's the beginning of February. Winter doesn't really end technically until March 20th. Or 21st, and it's always like, you know, it snows usually then too. So for me, it was always like, it seemed like it was stupid because it was like, it's always going to be winter for 6 more weeks, no matter what. We never get an early spring. It's not like we ever get like daffodils in February. It just doesn't happen, at least not where I'm from. And so it was nice, and we got to go see Booty Candy. Now, last week, or was it the week before? Oh, it was last week. We had
Robert O'Hara.
Yeah, Robert O'Hara. He's the writer and director, and then Osiris Kefman is something, I forget his last name. He's an actor in the show. We got to see the show, and it was a little bit like I expected, but then totally not what I expected either. Because we talked to him about his play and talked about his work, but we hadn't seen it. And so now that I saw it, I understand like a little bit better of our conversation and why some things were the way they were.
But at the same time, it was like, there were some really great moments in the
fantastic
show, and I felt part of Robert's obstacle is that he feels guilty about giving the audience a good time.
Mm.
He's like,
you can't,
the audience having fun is not, you know, we have to talk about injustice and bigotry. And, you know, it's like, and sometimes, you know, people just want to just enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
It's entertainment. To a certain point, you know, and it's like, and I feel like if anything that holds back Robert O'Hara's career and Booty Candy is that sometimes he just doesn't allow the scenes to roll. Like there's a really great scenes with this kind of large gender nonconforming person and then his best friend, and they're at a bar and they pick up this drunk white guy to have sex with. And the interaction between the three of them in that scene is really, really fun. And I could see a whole play just about those three characters. And unfortunately, it's treated very briefly and it goes very, very dark, very quickly. And I'm just like, Why can't we just have a nice time? Why does everything have to turn into this, Twilight Zone episode of horror morality?
Are you agreeing with Rex Reed, who says it's turned back the the cause of for LGBT people?
I'm surprised that he got Rex Reed to review it in the first place, because it is, I feel like it's a very rough work in some ways. And I feel like Robert O'Hara actually might be better as a screenwriter. And, you know, sometimes, I had an art teacher tell me, it's like, you got to find the right genre for yourself. You know, like for me, I'm like, podcasting works really, really well.
Sure.
I've also done musicals. I've done solo performances. I've been a drag queen. I've been a circus performer. I've been a musician
on a stage.
I've been a chicken on a stage for Alaska with you. And so sometimes, you know, you really sort of have to find the genre that allows you, that speaks to your talents and your skills. And Robert O'Hara is a really great writer and comes up some really great scenes. But I just feel like if he had somebody else directing him, if he had somebody else editing him, I think his work would be explosive. And maybe, you know, that's not what he wants to do with his work and his career. So more power to him if it's the direction he wants to go. But if he's listening, get an editor.
Now, there was one scene, though. They had a scene of these lesbians, and they had an uncoupling. So it was kind of like being married, but like getting unmarried. And it was, they did their vows of like basically a divorce. And it was super funny. That was one of the highlights for sure.
Like,
and
this is like in living color, yeah. LGBT style.
Yeah.
Like, and you could totally do a if Robert O'Hara just got some money, work with Logo and bring back the big gay sketch comedy show, but have some African American flavor.
For sure.
And I think that would mm-hmm. be huge, you know, because right. that's part of the fun thing about RuPaul's Drag Race mm-hmm. is that it brings in a lot of African American and Latino and just a diverse language and sensibilities into a medium mm-hmm. that we don't really get to see.
Right. And so that was my birthday, and that was on Thursday. And then Friday night, we had a party, and so that was a lot of fun. I had a lot of people here, had some cake, and I don't know, it was just, I was so kind of busy trying to, like, greet people and get them their coquito and getting them a drink. It was hard to really spend time with people until it was later in the evening, and because there was just too many people all at once.
If anyone ever had any doubts that Mark and Mark could hold his own against Martha Stewart...
Oh, please.
You could go on, you know, MasterChef and own it. You just whipped up an entire elaborate multi-course birthday party for almost like 80 people or so. It was insanity.
It wasn't 80 people.
You did just an amazing job, Mark. And it's like you had this white wine sangria that was gorgeous. You made this arroz con pollo, which was fantastic.
That came later in the evening, but
there was like some Chipotle catering because we hacked the burrito. Yeah. Was it Chitopia thing mm-hmm. in the summer? And it was just a really, really great party. And thanks to you and to all the other people that helped Mark put it together, because I was at work.
Yeah, you were at work, so you didn't actually get hit to the party. So you were tardy to the party.
I was tardy to the party.
But my friend Michael came, and Taylor came early to help set up, and then Michael picked up the catering and set it all up for me. It was really, I couldn't have done it without all these people. It was so much fun.
How did you feel about being surrounded by all these people who love you and celebrated you and were there for you? And
it was super sweet. It was nice to be there, and it was nice to be around everybody. I did, like I said, I just wish I had more time, because it was just, there was like the influx of people coming. So it was like a quick greet and all that kind of stuff, and hang your coat here, have a drink, and da 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 da. And then, oh, here comes somebody else. Let me make sure that they feel comfortable too. So
that's what Kate Bornstein yeah. and also, God, it was Kiki and Herb mm-hmm. say there's yeah. never enough time to spend
there isn't.
With people that you love.
You know, and that's why I was disappointed that you had to work for a part of the evening, because that way you would have been able to help me with some of that, so I would have had some more quality time.
Honey, those pies don't bake themselves.
That's true.
So it was a pretty fun and exciting weekend. Also, RuPaul announced her new album, which is now available on iTunes, called Remember Me. It's not Question.
Remember Me?
It's a tie. The question is, do you remember me? Mm-hmm. And it's one of the new songs, but she's done a lot of remixes mm-hmm. of her classic songs, including Supermodel.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of? I was like, what is going on with this remix?
And a lot of people are kind of like, part of it is like, where's LaWanda Page? You know,
they couldn't pay her estate.
Well, she was maybe, I don't know. So
I'll do a LaWanda Page for you. Yeah. There's nothing the world loves more than a gay white man pretending to be a black woman.
Yeah.
They just love it.
LaWanda Page was a comedian from the 1970s and 80s who's best known for playing Aunt Esther mm-hmm. on Sanford and Son. Mm-hmm. She was actually in her own stand-up comedy career. She was very raunchy and wild.
Mm.
And so RuPaul, as being, you know, somebody who knows a lot about awesome things, asked LaWanda Page to do backup vocals, and the song that they worked on was Supermodel. And so a lot of those things, like out of sight, you know, do the runway, baby, is LaWanda mm-hmm. Page, and she's no longer with us. So I was kind of had my fingers crossed when I saw that mm-hmm. RuPaul was going to do a remix of Star Booty, that somehow he managed to get mm-hmm. his hands on LaWanda Page's original backing tracks mm. for the song and remix it in. But alas, it's, you know,
oh.
Lucian Piani, you're missed. That's what I want to say.
He's not missed by some people. Yeah. Although now he's saying, you know, for some people that don't know, he's worked with RuPaul on a lot of his music. He's been a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race. He's helped do some of the music challenges.
He's done a lot of music.
Yeah, he's done a lot of music for them. And so he, he seemed to have some kind of weird Twitter meltdowns talking about Trump, using the N-word, all sorts of weird shit. People are just like, oh my God, I'm so over this queen. And he recently was tweeted, he's like, oh, you know, back when I was acting all like, you know, crazy, I overdosed on marijuana. And so that's why I had a marijuana like hallucination or something. And like, people are like, okay, girl, whatever. Bye. So we'll see where that comes. But, you know, they did. The other thing that was really great about my birthday is they released the season 9 cast for RuPaul's Drag Race. And I don't think we've ever had a cast of any season that we've had more former guests of Feast of Fun on there. Peppermint's on there. She's the first trans drag queen that's going to be on the show.
Remember we were talking, interviewing her, and, yeah, and she was like, I'll never get on that show because they want a trans person.
They don't want a trans person.
They say they don't want a trans person. And we're like, you still should audition for it. Damn
you
it.
You can do it.
We pushed her into it.
Yeah. And then Charlie Hyde, who does all the wonderful videos of being Madonna and Cher.
Lady Gaga,
now lives in England. He's on it. James Mansfield.
Before you get into that, people are like, how is Charlie Hyde able to get on RuPaul's Drag Race? He's even a British citizen. And I'm like, because the girl's from Boston, honey. Yeah. She just married a Brit. Yeah. So she has dual citizenship. Yeah.
James Mansfield, who lives up in Milwaukee, is friends with Trixie Mattel, did Trixie Mattel's puppet of Michelle Visage. Maybe you saw her that performance.
But most notably is James Mansfield's fantastic YouTube channel, mm-hmm, where she walks through drag queen herstory. Mm-hmm. And also James Mansfield's been a big critical part behind the scenes of Cooking with Drag Queens, mm-hmm, helping us film, mm-hmm, and produce the series, mm-hmm, from behind the scenes. So it's really great to see James Mansfield, because I asked her many times, are you on the series? And she's like, no, girl,
not at all.
She had good poker face.
So I don't
face.
Remember if she did the Dixieland Cartwright and Lola Von Miramar episodes.
I believe
which
she
did
may
those.
Have, yeah.
I would think it was those, or she did the Shea Coulee Kimchi ones. I'm not really sure.
She was involved, I believe, in 3 of those episodes.
Okay,
yeah.
So yeah. And so it was really great. And so hopefully maybe we'll do one with her. And maybe we'll put her in front of the camera this time. Yeah. And then also local girl, Shea Coulee.
Yes.
We made some pork enchiladas with her. So if you haven't checked that out in Cooking with Drag Queens, please do so.
It's pronounced enchiladas. So Shea Coulee, mm-hmm, I've been chatting in the past with producers of Drag Race. And I was like, when are you guys going to get Shea Coulee? She's fantastic. She's a great person. And they just basically hinted to me that the reason they want her is because they feel like she's going to make a great villain.
Ooh.
So be prepared. She's serving up iced tea, cold, mm-hmm, this season. So do not get in Shea Coulee's way, because she will Kool-Aid a bitch. Yes.
She does not care about your feelings. So
why do you say that?
I just listen. She's a person that's going to tell you like it is, how she feels it is. Now, she might not be right. And I'm going to say this. Oftentimes she's wrong, but at least that's what she feels. And she's going to tell you how it is.
She suffers no fools.
No, she suffers no fools.
She has no time to be nice. And so she's going to cut a bitch. And so I'm looking forward to seeing who she's going to butt heads with. And there's a lot of these other queens. Aja, I'm not sure who she is.
She's from New York. She's a very famous queen in New York.
Alexis Michelle. She's New York City's premier Broadway queen.
Yeah, we're going to go through all of these with Vivacious coming up here real soon. She's going to read them all.
Some people said that Eureka, she's a thick and juicy girl. She looks, mm-hmm, a little bit too much like Ginger Minj for their comfort.
Oh.
There's, of course, Kimora Black, who's they call her a bombshell beauty, which I'm like, whatever, that's like. And then, of course, Nina Bonina Brown is the low budget acid Betty.
Oh, really? How low budget?
For a dollar.
Mm.
Sasha Velour, don't know who you are. Sasha Velour kind of is like the white angina. And Trinity Taylor. Valentina looks really interesting to me because I believe she may be a Puerto Rican queen living in Los Angeles. At least I'm picking up on the way she talks. So she had kind of a New Yorkan accent for someone who lives in Los Angeles.
Sasha Velour is the editor for the Drag Magazine.
There's a magazine called Drag Magazine, yeah, I guess? Fancy. Oh, so they're getting the media into this, honey. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah, we have copies of this. We have copies of Velour.
Fabulous. Yeah. So it's going to be really exciting and a lot of fun. And certainly you guys who are fans of Feast of Fun are going to see a lot of our past guests mm-hmm. on this season.
Predictions?
I definitely think Shea Calais is a front runner. So she's definitely
top five.
Somebody to, you know, watch your back.
Mm-hmm.
Peppermint is probably, if anybody can defeat Shea Calais, it's Peppermint. Peppermint has tons of charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. So top, I would say even Peppermint's top three. James Mansfield, sweet. She may be Miss Congeniality. She's very, very likable, very mm-hmm. sweet. And I don't really know too much about all the other queens. Charlie Hydes is hilarious. If they send Charlie Hydes home, like they do with a lot of mature queens,
mm-hmm.
they're missing out because Charlie Hydes is as funny and is as catty as Bianca Del Rio. Yeah. So
go back and listen to the podcast with all these queens. They're all great.
But ultimately, it's a reality TV show, you know, and sometimes the cards fall where they may. And just because somebody's an amazing talent doesn't mean they make it far mm-hmm. in a reality competition. Maybe it's not the right vehicle. Mm-hmm. It's not the right media for them.
Listen, every week somebody has to go home.
Yeah.
And it's not always going to be fair, but that's the way it is.
And sometimes, you know, people get so mad that they want to send, you know, one of the judges home. And as much as we like to send, you know, they sent Santino home mm-hmm. for good, but then they put out the two other, you mm-hmm. know, people. It's like you cut off the head and two grow in its place. So sometimes the best thing you can do with the judges is just pay attention to them.
Just turn off the judgment part.
Yeah. Just be like, oh, that's so nice. Mm-hmm. And look at you getting your sound bites in for this reality TV show. You go, girl. Mm. You do that. What is Tinder for apes?
So in the Netherlands, they have a Tinder basically for apes, for monkeys, or for orangutans, so that the orangutans can kind of look and see if they're attracted to other orangutans. Because, you know, orangutans are basically solitary animals, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't live with other orangutans, and orangutans are living all over the world. So they don't want to ship an orangutan from, like, let's say from Denver to some other place, unless that there's some kind of like chemistry. So they're trying to figure out how they can do this with a touchscreen monitor, because they've used them before, but they also, like the orangutans, some of them have broken them. So because they're very strong, so they just like punch them.
So instead of swiping right, they're just smashing.
Like, bam! Yes. Yeah. So they're trying to see, like, does this monkey turn you on? I'm sorry, ape. Orangutans are apes. Monkeys have tails.
I think
right?
they only can call each other that. But the orangutans, mm-hmm. I guess this is for zoos, right?
Yeah, it's zoos.
It's not just like in the wild. They're not just approaching them and be like, here, have this indestructible iPad.
That will bring you a lover. No, and that's why the population of orangutans is very low. It's because they are solitary creatures. Which is kind of unusual for most primates are very social animals, you know, and so there's some socialization with them, because otherwise how would they make babies? And they're mostly, I think, in Indonesia is their primary habitat. I think that's their only habitat is Indonesia.
Well, I watched the movie Jungle Book, and they can grow up to fantastic sizes.
King Louis.
They're obsessed with fire, mm-hmm. too, and being able to be like humans.
Yes.
So this is one more like, I want to be like you, Tinder like you, too.
mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, we want to remind you that Feast of Fun is made possible because of financial support of fabulous people like you. If you want to access 12, now 13 years of amazing shows, go to feastoffun.com/plus and dig into our archives, honey, where you can get in-depth interviews with some of the top queens and LGBT comedians, media personalities, and lots of extraordinary artists, and talking about their culture and making culture.
And some people, you know, PayPal will cancel their membership to this site because you've changed your credit card associated with it, or your credit card has expired. So, you know, please check in. If you want to support the podcast, please check into your PayPal. Make sure that under your reoccurring payments that your subscription is up and good. Because a lot of people, I write to them and I tell them your subscription is lapsed, it's failed, but they don't check that email because they only use that email for their PayPal account. And so sometimes it's hard to get get in contact with people. And we really can't do the show unless we have support from the listeners. So if our subscriptions fall below a certain number, then it's the end of Feast of Fun.
And it's kind of like clean water in your sink, right? You love having clean water. We depend on clean water. It's easy to take for granted because it's always been there. We've been there for you guys for over a decade. And you want to sort of make sure that we're around because you value the show. You enjoy listening to it. And you listen to it because it's ad-free. You listen to it because it's an entertaining part of your day. Some people start their day off by listening to Feast of Fun on their way to work. Mm-hmm. Make a difference and make sure that Feast of Fun is around for you and for other people. Go to feastoffun.com and make a one-time donation at feastoffun.com/donate. Mm-hmm. Or check out our chic boutique where we have all kinds of amazing clothes designed by me and many of our past guests.
I want to do a shout out to Jess Herbst, who's the mayor of New Hope, Texas, who came out as transgender. And just a few weeks ago, went around and told people, just like, hey, I'm trans.
No, her official announcement is, I am transgender. As far as I know, I'm the first openly transgender mayor on record in the state of Texas. There could be others who never came out, but I'm the first to say, yes, I am transgender and a seated mayor. To which her supporters went, yeah.
Well, she said she talked to like the commissioners and they're all just like, okay, that's great. Wonderful. So it's a population of 700.
So this is what, and a lot of people are like, think that, you know, that's a big deal. And it's like, Texas is full, and it is a big deal. But Texas is full of tiny little towns with mayors. Like, I personally have friends who ran for mayors of the little towns in Texas they grew up in. I don't know, like, if that's the way in other parts of the United States, Mark, where there's just so many little towns.
Oh, but there's little towns everywhere. And every
little town has their own mayor, you know?
Yeah, that's how it works.
Like the TV show Good Witch.
Yeah.
What is the town that Good Witch takes place in?
It's in Salem, isn't it?
No, the TV series, the Hallmark Channel.
Oh.
So Good Witch has a Mayor Tinsdale, right? And that, and it's filmed in Canada and it takes place in it's about a good witch who moves back into a town and she helps to put people's lives back together. So it's kind of like Touched by an Angel, but it's, you know, pagan. And so actress Catherine Bell plays Cassie Nightingale, the owner of a shop called Bell Book and Candle. And she also runs a bed and breakfast at Gray House. In the first season, Cassie develops a friendship with Middleton's newest resident and neighbor, Sam Redford, and tries to move on from the loss of Jake with her longtime friend, Ryan Elliott. However, both Cassie and Sam slowly begin to realize their romantic feelings for each other is more than just chemistry. And so Good Witch is great because it's kind of like it's a TV show written from your like grandma's perspective. So like, you know, most people are like, oh my god, what's gonna happen with Trump and the election and the economy and Lady Gaga the Super Bowl? This is more like, I hope Timmy does well at his spelling bee championship. Like the whole plot of the show, it revolves around this woman baking bread and muffins and scones and serving teas and crackers and snacks at 3 a.m. to the people of Gray House. And then whether Timmy, the next door neighbor, is going to, you know, find his lost cat and shit like that. Like, it's a whole hour long episode about a boy losing his dog. It's wonderful. It's
escapist. The latest season on Netflix yet?
No. I'm still waiting for Stranger Things 2.
That's not coming till October.
October, honey. But they had the commercial in at the Super Bowl. And so people were always wondering, like, what are they going to call it? Are they going to call it Stranger Things, like with a subtitle or something? And just like RuPaul's Drag Race is with a number 2. And they had a little bit of a Ghostbusters. The boys were dressed up in Ghostbusters outfits. And so people were like, I thought the Ghostbusters were women. Is this an alternate timeline?
It's from the 80s, folks.
And then I guess they showed some monster up against a red sky. So we don't know if there's another alternate
dimension.
Oh, like something's from down below and something from up above. Ooh.
Yeah, the upside down and the up above.
Yeah. Well, folks, we got some great shows coming up for you this week. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking to, I don't know if to, what the schedule, I don't know how we're going to do the schedule, but Vivacious
coming
is coming
soon.
Coming soon is Vivacious talking about the season 9 girls. And then we're also going to talk to Peaches Christ for Valentine's Day. And it's the title of the show is Don't Fall in Love with a Drag Queen.
Dun, dun, dun. Don't fall in love with a drag queen, because drag queens break your heart.
And then also, if Jeffrey J ever answers our texts, we'll have him back on too.
Jeffrey J, he does Ding Dong Ditches us, because he comes to town and then he says, hey, I'm in town, let's tape a podcast. And we're like, great, how about Tuesday?
And then we don't hear from
him. And then nothing. Yeah. And then he leaves town. Oh my God, I totally want to get together with you guys. And the reason we're putting him on blast here is because he don't respond to our text messages.
Yeah.
He might be too famous.
So if you guys could just tweet, it's like, hey, Jeffrey J, right?
Yeah.
Just tweet him and say, hey, are you going on Feast of Fun this week?
Because they talked about you on the show.
And they weren't sure.
Yeah.
Are we bullying him?
We are a little bit. Well, you know, it's for his benefit.
But it's for his benefit. And it's also just, if you want him, let them know. If you like any guest on this podcast, tweet them, write to them, say, hey, listen, I really enjoy you on the fun.
And if you have something to say about Lady Gaga, post it on our Facebook page, because our group is down, facebook.com/feastoffun, where we always post our latest podcasts. And we want to hear it. Did you think Lady Gaga was the right combination of politics and fabulousness? Or did Lady Gaga not go far enough to the precedents set by Beyonce the previous year? Let us know, and we'll read some of your best comments and responses on future shows. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.